Many spirits here are sending waves of high impulse earthward, and sometimes you see the outward manifestation of impulse in the wisdom of employer, the loyalty of employed, in the intellectuals who are writing of this life, scientists experimenting along new lines, preachers, even, who are phrasing their sermons with new meaning. These and a thousand other beginnings are suggested from here, for the influence of this life does not move earthward in one channel only. Science, religion, art, and literature, all are impressed. A new day is coming when heaven shall draw near to earth, and the soul of man shall be baptized with spiritual gifts, and finally, finally, war and hatred shall cease on earth, and peace and kindness shall be the law of life. The world is surely very far from such a millennial state at present. That is true, for the great masses are still immersed in selfish plans and ambitions. Yet some are pure in heart and have the vision of a purified world where brotherly love shall reign. These are the hope of the world, for the hope of the future lies truly in the philosophy that Christ brought to earth. Can you impress primitive people with new ideas? We find ways of bringing primitive people into more of material comfort, heat in the place of cold, food for the poorly fed and poorly nourished, spiritual thoughts sometimes, though this is rare. How do you do this? You know, do you not, that even animals are sensitive to impressions? Wild animals often have their physical senses so quickened that they almost reach the spiritual. Wild people live near to nature and get impressions easily at times. The Indians have thought out the Great Spirit, and many of the primitive peoples have intuitions of a being higher than themselves, and something beyond their poor lives that shall be finer and better. If the stimulus to progress comes from that side, why is there so wide a divergence among the different peoples of the earth? Some natures have not yet evolved enough to receive. The savage has still a primitive brain. Occasionally one of their number will forge ahead and achieve fine leadership, but as a rule they are children, or less than children in spiritual life. Among the different races some started earlier in the upward climb and became ready for higher thought, while others remained entirely undeveloped. But the Ethiopians and the Babylonians were trading together thousands of years ago. The Babylonians made history, while the Ethiopians are practically unheard of. To advance in the comforts and luxuries of life is one thing, to advance spiritually another. The Babylonians developed brain power and used it in surrounding themselves with luxuries, yet their nature remained savage, and showed itself in cruelty and oppression. The Ethiopians were contented to remain as they were. The hut, the out-of-door life, the spear and the hunt, were to them the best that life could give. Thus the Babylonians and the Ethiopians were one in their desire for material comfort only. If it is as you say, that the evil characters cannot descend beyond the first plane until the evil has been eliminated and their characters changed into good, then there must be an overwhelming accumulation of evil on that plane. There is where our occupation and responsibility come in, to prevent these evil ones from impressing their influence upon susceptible minds on earth. The evil ones here are constantly passing out of their evil thought, and becoming, if not actually constructive in good, yet neutral in influence. Yet, others with evil minds are constantly coming over, so our work is never finished. Do you ever become discouraged? No, for we see the evil constantly changing into good, and know that the final victory will be with the good. How do you know that? I can only say that all knowledge above us teaches that, and we have the inner conviction that comes from the Father of us all, and this can never be shaken. In a conversation with Professor James one evening through the pencil, he spoke of the efforts there to influence earth life. Among other things he said, "I came over, not believing that evil and crime could exist here. But I have watched the teaching of those who are trying to help the criminals into a better life, and their work brings me into sight and knowledge of the pitiful lives and mental or spiritual suffering of those who have used their earthly existence for selfishness only, and have broken both the laws of God and man in seeking the gratification of their desires." Then spirit can suffer? Yes, spirit is a sensitive which can enjoy to the utmost, or suffer to the last degree. Which condition of spirit life shall be his, rests with the individual. How to get this truth to the selfish and to the wickedly inclined, is our problem, for their souls have become indifferent to finer impressions by the very degradation of their lives. These are the ones, however, who are influenced by the lower orders of spirit manifestations: materialization, raps, strange sounds, and other material phenomena, and many times through these are brought into consideration of a future life. So, you see, there is an influence for good in even these manifestations. D told us a little of the extent of spirit influence one evening. I'm not in the class of unbelievers as I used to be. It is all so plain here, and we have such strong impressions from the powers above that it is easy to believe where we cannot positively see or know. We are led by impressions largely, and the people on earth have far more teaching by impressions than they realize. Scientists, physicians, clergymen, inventors, are often led into far-reaching truth and skill by impressions from here. Heaven is a part of earth, and earth is a part of heaven. In the evening of a day which we had spent in one of nature's quiet places, this came: we have been with you in the silence of the hills today, and we believe you felt the presence of unseen forces. We wish we could interpret these for you. Life was there in all its varied and beautiful material dress, but the spirit that pervaded all, you could not see, and could only vaguely feel. Nature expresses the great creative force in manifold ways, and however people may go to this great teacher, it is better than to be indifferent to her manifestations. Nature is one of God's ways of speaking to the world. Many fail to define their impressions except in terms of activity. Yet there is an impression going to the inner spirit nevertheless. 22. Messengers. There is a phase of spirit life, an occupation for some spirits, to which I do not remember having seen any reference in the many records of communications and descriptions I have read. This is the messenger service. Many times when we inquired for someone there, we have received a reply saying, "Waft, we will send a messenger for him." Invariably there follows an interval, from a few seconds to a minute, while the pencil is motionless. Then the communication continues. Two or three times we were told that the messenger could not find the one for whom we were seeking. The interval of waiting is usually very short, and we have been told that the distances between circles and planes is sometimes very great. So it is apparent that this messenger service, which takes the place there that is filled by the telegraph and telephone here, is far more efficient than anything we have conceived, and accomplishes the work with incredible celerity. A part of the method is indicated in the first quotation given below: the power of thought transference. But that the spirit messengers themselves go great distances is specifically stated later. Our first information regarding them was the following: how do you find people there? I can hardly tell you in words that you will understand, but we have messengers who can find them. Through ways well known here, but impossible on earth. A sort of mental inquiry sent out? More like wireless telegraphy, but far different from that. It is operated by mind, and mind communicates with mind with the speed of electricity. Not long afterward another reference was made to them when we asked D, if you do not reckon time there, how do you regulate the intervals between your classes? A messenger announces the time and place and the children come. I meet them every day, or about what you would call a day. In talking with a friend, Sis said, did you know I used an incident of your earth experience in a paper that I read? It was that brought me to you. Some magnetic communication was established by your thought of me, and I heard through my own psychic or spiritual sense that you were talking with friends here. So I sent out messengers, and, though it has been a long search, I have found you in a circle who are well beloved by those of higher spheres. Mary is a safe teacher and friend. D is your dearest friend and a lovely spirit. Trust them. The others I cannot see so well, but all are fine, and I am grateful that you, my friend, are cared for so wisely. The service is further defined in the following: we have a very perfect messenger service and can find many people. But in the multitudes that are here we do not always get descriptions clearly enough to send for them. And then, too, they may have passed on and away from this sphere entirely. It would take an infinite mind to comprehend the infinite number here and the infinite space they occupy. Our messenger service is restricted in a way, for we call on those who are particularly the ones belonging in this sphere, and not on those who have moved on to other spheres. Many times the ones who are asked for have progressed beyond our knowledge. That great distances are covered is explicitly stated in the following given by a messenger: "We are the spirits of the air who go from plane to plane as messengers, and carry the thoughts of earth to friends here, and the spirit thoughts to earth friends. We have a messenger service as complete as your own mind can picture, and through this we communicate to far-off zones and spheres. We can go to other planets, or to other universes if necessary, with greater speed than those not trained in the service. We have been told many times that each could choose his own work on that side, and many of their occupations have been described. The interest and pleasure connected with the messenger service seem to offer strong inducements to some, as the following will show. We will try a few sentences from one who has come to the circle for a time. A visitor? Yes, a visiting messenger. He belongs to the messenger service and was attracted by a question you asked. Here he is. I do not belong to the highest planes, nor to the very high ones, yet there is much diversity in those I visit. The messenger service is to me exceedingly attractive, bringing one into the presence of different occupations, different modes of enjoyment, and higher studies. I do not know that I can describe them to you, as you have not yet learned to understand the first plane. But knowledge grows wiser, enjoyment deeper, and wisdom greater. It is a pleasure to come into contact with the higher spirits, and the time spent in preparing for the messenger service is also a pleasure, as all acquisition of knowledge here brings its own enjoyment. The language of the highest planes is far beyond me yet, but I am able to report successfully from many of the intermediate ones. Do you communicate by symbols? Partly, and also by translating the language or symbols of the upper spheres into the language used here. I inquired more particularly into the requirements of the service. It is possible for anyone who is willing to study for the work. It might be compared with a postgraduate course there. Many mediums claim to be controlled by spirits from past ages, and many pages purporting to be philosophy and wisdom thus given have appeared in various publications. It is possible that much of this is fraudulently given by spirits on that side who impersonate these noted sages of bygone centuries, or is simply the imaginings of the medium's subconscious mind. Some probably is given by poor souls who have been so positive of the truth of their convictions that they have failed to advance in spiritual understanding even though centuries have passed. This is shown by our experience as related in the chapter Undeveloped Spirits. Let us hope there are few who are thus delayed. Then, as is explained in the chapter Circles and Planes, there are some who really do send down messages to those on lower planes, and some of these messages are transmitted to Earth. After this messenger, mentioned in the other chapter, had explained the process of this transmission from plane to plane, he continued as follows: "I'm not far away, but I am a receiver from higher planes, and so can tell you some of the things that pass through me to other planes. With whom would you like to communicate? We hesitate to call for any of the great ones. You have the permission. Ask and ye shall receive, this time at least. Can you tell us who communicate through you? You are wishing a message from Socrates. Well, here it is. We are on the plane where we belong. Never doubt that you will be placed correctly. We decide our position while on Earth, though we may change that position by study after we have arrived. It may be that my words may become somewhat entangled in the thoughts of the different messengers through which they pass, but I will try to give you one precept that will help. I taught by questioning, and found the weak place in the other's armor. Then one can drive at that weak place. That is a fair method. Look at all sides of every problem, question the truth at all points, find the weak place if there is one, and make use of it in the argument. Sift and sift until nothing but the truth is left. Question and question, sift and sift, and the remainder will be the truth, that is, if there is any remainder." Then the messenger continued, "Do you wish another?" "Yes, but it is difficult to know for whom to ask." "Will Napoleon do?" "Do you mean that you have a message from Napoleon?" "Yes. Napoleon sees the world slaughter of this war, and knows how his militarism fostered the cruelties and avarice and the grasping greed of nations. He knew at Elba that his life was all wrong, but did not know how to alter the greed of power, the ambition to be personally great. These dominated his personality. He came here with hardly anything left of spirituality. He was stunned by the change and by the necessity for different ideals, and long, long time passed before he could even make a beginning. Even yet he has still to struggle with the remains of the old character. His messages are always so unlike his former greed-loving self, greed for power, that few will believe them. Can you believe this one? Tell young men who seek personal power, riches, fame, and forget the rights of the lowly and dependent, tell all such to find an elba of their own, some desert place, some far island in the sea, and there to ponder on the rights, not of the individual, but the rights of humanity. And tell them, as they value their immortal life, to stay there until their ideals have grown pure and unselfish. Later this messenger appeared again. I am a messenger from another plane. Will you tell me what you wish? Are you the one who told of Socrates? Yes, and can give you another message if you like. This time from a philosopher who belonged also to the Greek civilization. I belong to the very glad ones, who were glad of life, of love, of wine and pleasure. You mean the Epicureans? Yes, we have been misrepresented. For our philosophy only tried to make the best of conditions as we saw them, tyrants ruling the nation, riches the only power, life too short and nothing beyond. What then, was it not a credit to make the most of the only life we knew? We did dance and feast and bid defiance to sorrow and death. But it was to us the only philosophy worthwhile. Socrates was wiser, and his disciples founded a deeper philosophy. But they were sad-visaged, and many had only their thoughts to sustain them. Do not these types exist today? Only that they have not given themselves a name nor an organization. 23. Movement and travel. Many and various messengers have told of their work for, and influence with, the people of distant spheres, and have even described journeys to these remote worlds. If there is truth behind these communications, this necessitates motion with a swiftness for which we have no comparison. These references have been a continued source of wonder to me, and it is with more than usual interest that I have arranged the quotations in this chapter. The first one is selected from our very early communications. We were talking with a lady who had passed over about the time of the advent of the automobile, and at some reference to them, she wrote, "I never was in an automobile. I suppose they are good, but I like my way of going better." You have not told us how that was, that you can go so quickly. You must have wings? No, child. Wings are only for pictures. We need no wings here. We go as we please, fast or slow, walk or fly, as you might say, but without wings except in thought. I mean that we move by thought more quickly than by flying. Is it far from this circle to your own? I might call it far if on earth. Nothing seems very far here. D spoke of their rapid movements also. Page 188. We move with such ease here that we scarcely feel the motion. We can move with the greatest rapidity. As fast as lightning? Yes, and faster, too, if we wish. You need not dry comparisons, for there is nothing like it in the material world. Another communicator spoke of going to another sphere, and we asked him, is it more of a task to go to another universe than to one of our own planets? I have not yet tried other universes. Higher education is needed for such wanderings. We do not arrive at all power at once, but labor for it, as earth people labor for higher gifts. When you spoke of going to another sphere, did you mean another planet, or just another plane? I meant another sphere belonging to this planet. For the heavenly sphere belonging to this earth is of such immensity that it would mean far away indeed to go to some of its various parts. I think it was D with whom we were talking when the following was written. You seem to have no trouble in passing back and forth to the planets? No, you need never worry about accidents. Souls are not subject to them. I can go as easily as I can come here to you, but it takes longer. Spirit does not move quite as quickly as thought, but moves in a way beyond the comparison of mortals. There is a little space of time, as you call it, while we are crossing the millions upon millions of miles of space. We can move faster than light at times, but that is a matter of study. Law is in control as certainly here as there, but we can attain greater speed by studying the laws of speed and motion and vibration. Have you any idea how long you were on the way to Mars? We probably were several hours, though we have no exact way of measuring time. All was so beautiful, and we saw so many wonders of the outer universe that I took no note of time. Did we get the right idea when you said you used vibrations in traveling? We travel by vibrating motion through the ether. We move in vibrating action when going to distant worlds. We can control our speed perfectly and can move with a swiftness incomprehensible to mortals, or we can remain almost inactive in the ether. We have teachers who can go with the speed of spirit motion to faraway spaces. And when they return, they entrance us all with descriptions of the journey and conditions that are strange even to us. Speed is through vibrations far more rapid than light, or they would be many years in making the trip. The vibrations we use, and the training we receive in using them, permit a velocity unthinkable by Earth computations. Last season we were preparing for a vacation trip and were having a last visit together through the pencil. During the talk, T said, "You do not know the delights of traveling yet. We go as we please and we see more than you see. We see all the things that are beautiful in nature, but we do not see the disagreeable things as plainly, for they are clouded. But all of beauty and all of usefulness. We can see as well as you or better. Travel is a wonderful educator and lays the foundation for larger perceptions. Even here we see and feel the beneficent results of travel to other planes, the coming in contact with other conditions, and the influences that form other lives and character. A display of aurora borealis induced us to ask the cause." The pencil wrote in reply, "Scientists here believe in the radium theory of heat and light in the sun. Sis said she had seen some reference to such a theory, and I asked if it was possible that her mind was responsible for this statement through the pencil. Not necessarily, she does sometimes think along the right lines, and it happens that this is the case now. The theory of radium is bigger than you think, and may involve an entire reconstruction of scientific work in regard to the sun. This is not Mary. I was interested and were you an astronomer? I was one, or thought I was, but I see so many problems from this side that my knowledge looks too small to be named at present. We study, but with far better methods and far better conditions, therefore the little I learned on Earth seems hardly worth remembering now. Sis said Mary had told of going to far universes, and that spirits can withstand the greatest heat, so she asked why he did not go to the sun and study it at first hand. Have you learned that we do not grasp things here without study? Travel must be prepared for by necessary study and experience of vibration force. I have not taken that yet. Many go to the planet who do not visit the sun, for the sun is not so easily approached as you might think. There are electrical and magnetic conditions that must be studied before we could venture into that blaze of heat and light. Mary says she could go into a volcano without suffering from the heat, but that does not express even in a feeble way the heat that can be intense many millions of miles away. I can go to the sun sometime, but that time is not now. That is all for now. Goodbye. Goodbye. Will you come again? I will come sometime if you don't insist that I go to the sun. Mary says, he is a teacher of astronomy and is very far advanced. He just drifted in here this time without any special object, and the first we knew you were asking about the aurora, and I turned the pencil over to him. Well, Mary, he can beat you in writing. The writing had been very large and free, quite different from Mary's characteristic backhand. Mary will have to take lessons from him. He was right in saying that visits to the sun are not for us of this plane. That belongs to higher study and experience. I thought you said spirit was superior to all conditions? Mary says yes to that. But spirit even must learn the laws of the universe. I do not know what would happen if some overventuresome spirit should attempt to reach the sun. But probably it would or could not reach that point unprepared. Spirit cannot be annihilated, that I know. But there are some conditions that are still beyond our knowledge. We are not as independent of law as you might suppose, and it is in being in harmony with the law that we find our greatest happiness. We have tried to express some of our laws, or rather our protections, for that is what law is here, to you, but have not described the laws relating to advanced knowledge and higher spirit life, partly because you would not understand, and partly because we ourselves are not as familiar with them as we will be later. We have many light touches to the conversations. Sis was talking once with an old school friend who had passed over in early life. This friend told of her work, "I have been going on in music fast and far, and am impatient to have you here with me. We are going to be friends. Do you know it? I never realized in the old school days how closely congenial we were, but I see it now. Can you think of any studies more wonderful? You are so far ahead of me. I'll never be able to catch up. Do you think that will make a difference? Not a bit. I'll have the pleasure of introducing you to new emotions and new pleasures, and then, why, we can travel together." G says we can. And Mary added, "We'll make up a party and go planet hunting one of these days." 24. Other worlds. The immensity of heaven is beyond your comprehension. We here occupy the space around the universe in which the Earth is situated. But with education and training we can go to other universes when we wish. I do not know how many there are, for I have never visited one, but their number is like the sands of the desert. There are many worlds like our own, many others not yet well prepared for human life, still others that have grown too old to support life. When fitted, we journey to these worlds as we please, now here, now there, seeing much, learning much, making life full of the joy of new experience and greater knowledge. We wish you to get a definite idea of our life here and its activities. To show you one phase, let me tell you that we have teachers from other planets with us who tell us of many strange and wonderful things. For instance, we learn that the planet Mars is inhabited by people who are different in many ways from those of Earth. We cannot communicate with them in the same way, but teachers from there learn our language and tell us of their life and their surroundings. We learn that they are far more spiritual than Earth people. They wonder at our ignorance of heavenly things, and they can scarcely understand the indifference of Earth people to spiritual ideas. They have no fear of death, which to them is as beautiful as the opening of a flower. They are beautiful in appearance and in character, and their teachers here lead us up to higher thoughts. Their learning is so great that we seem like children to them. They love beauty, are gifted in music and art, and are skilled in all sciences. Because of their spiritual natures, they derive much knowledge from their spirit planes. Mars had some problems to meet that are different from many on Earth. Their water supply is obtained from subterranean sources and from the melting of polar snows. The thin atmosphere does not provide much protection, but heat and light are obtained by special electric devices. The plant life is such as is adapted to Arctic regions. But so great is the care taken, and such love of the beautiful exists, that the colors and forms are varied and wonderful. Because of its distance from the sun, the winters of Mars are long and cold. When the snow melts, the water is carried into great reservoirs and distributed through canals. Now you have been thinking of these canals, but you have been thinking correctly, for they really exist, though not to the extent that some have described. What is really seen from Earth are the canals, bordered by roadways and a growth of forest trees. The roadways are for their marvelous system of electric travel, for they are far in advance of Earth in the use of electric power. There is not a great variety of food, for the Martians do not eat meat. They have fruits and vegetables, but there are very few animals and none that are killed for food. As stated before, the people of Mars are highly educated and cultivated in the various arts. But art is expressed differently. The pictures are not so much in demand, because the artistic sense is developed more along architectural lines. There are many exquisite types of buildings, with ornamentation equal to the interiors of our palaces or cathedrals. Their homes are wondrously beautiful, with their rooms finished in carved picture effects. Mary tried several times to describe this more definitely, but seemed unable to find words to express what she wished to say. Finally she wrote, "I will ask a manufacturer from Mars to come." Then came a long pause. Finally the pencil began to write again, but in a different handwriting from Mary's peculiar backhand. I am a manufacturer from Mars trying to tell you through Mary about some of the things we do out there in space. We have every kind of manufactured article that can minister to the comfort of the people. We travel on Earth, on water, through the air and under the Earth when necessary, all devices for travel being electric, and moving with a speed and safety unknown to you.